Our first scripture lesson today is from the book of Genesis, chapter 15, verses 1 through 6. Listen now for God's word to you in this reading of scripture. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless. And the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, You have given me no offspring, and so a slave born in my house is to be my heir. But the word of the Lord came to him, This man shall not be your heir. No one but your very own issue shall be your heir. He brought him outside and said, Look toward heaven and count the stars, if you are able to count them. Then God said to him, So shall your descendants be. And he believed the Lord, and the Lord reckoned it to him as righteousness. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us, thanks be to God.
Beautiful. Now I invite you to listen to the gospel reading from the 13th chapter of Luke's gospel, the verses 31 through 35. Listen for God's word to us and for us. At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to Jesus, Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you. Jesus said to them, Go and tell that fox for me. Listen, I am casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow. And on the third day, I will finish my work. Yet today, tomorrow, and the next day, I must be on my way because it is impossible for a prophet to be killed outside of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. See, your house is left to you, and I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us, thanks be to God. Jean-Francois Gavelet was considered to be the greatest tightrope walker of all time. And so when he came to the United States in 1858, he was fascinated and obsessed with crossing on tightrope Niagara Falls. So on June 30th, 1859, he became the very first person to do it. With 100,000 people looking on, he walked on a 3-inch rope that was 1,100 feet long and 160 feet on one side and 270 feet on the Canadian side. People watched in disbelief as he lowered a rope down to the Maid of the Mist, and then he pulled back up a cup and he drank from it while standing on the tightrope. You know, every time he crossed, he did a different kind of trick. One time he crossed in a sack, another time he crossed on stilts, one time he crossed on a bicycle, one time he pushed a wheelbarrow across, and then still another time he walked blindfolded. Once he even balanced a chair on the tightrope and sat on top of it. Tony Campolo tells of one of his trips across the falls. With 10,000 people onlooking this time, he inched from the United States to the Canadian side. Finally, he quieted the crowd and he shouted, I am Blondin. It was his nickname because of his hair. Do you believe me? Do you believe me? And the crowd roared back, We believe you! We believe you! Again, he quieted the crowd and he shouted, I am going back over that tightrope again, but this time I am going to carry someone on my shoulders. Do you believe I can do that? Again, the crowd shouted, "We believe, we believe." He quieted the crowd again, and then he asked, "Who will be that person?" This time there is absolute silence. Finally, a long time later, a man stepped forward and climbed on Blondin's shoulders. And for the next 3.5 hours, they inched back across the tightrope to the Canadian side of the falls. Campolo writes, "The point of this story is blatantly clear. 10,000 people stood there that day shouting, 'We believe, we believe.' But only one person really believed. Believing is not just saying, 'I accept the fact.' Believing is giving your life over into the hands of the one whom you say you believe." When we read that Abraham believed in the Lord, he was making a total commitment to God. He was anchoring his life and his hope to God. Abram knew that when God promised an heir through his barren wife, that it went against all common sense. And he knew that if this was going to happen, God was going to have to do something extraordinary. Yet he believed God's promise and he committed himself to God. Now, in this morning's reading from Luke's gospel, the opposite seems to be true for some of the Jerusalem religious authorities and for Herod. God, in the person of Jesus of Nazareth, grieves the fact that many of God's children reject his grace, his truth, and his peace. In this beautiful metaphor, our Mother God expresses her desire to gather us under her wings, to shelter us, and to protect us. But the people would have none of it. Like most prophets, Jesus told people things that they simply didn't want to hear, things that challenged them or the way that they were living, things that threatened them or their lifestyles. And now Herod, the same Herod who had had John the Baptist beheaded, rumor was that he was after Jesus' head as well. They had placed their trust in themselves and their power rather than in the power of heaven. What about us? Where do we place our trust? The psalm for today, which goes along with the Old Testament and the New Testament reading, which we didn't read, is Psalm 27. The first two verses of that psalm read, "The Lord is my light and my salvation, of whom shall I be afraid? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Is God our light and salvation? Is God the stronghold of our lives? Are we more like Abraham? Or are we more like Herod and some of the Jewish religious authorities? We're here today, aren't we? And that in itself is an act of trust. But do we allow God to be God of all areas of our lives at all times? If we're honest, there are times when we trust God, and there are also times when we trust more in ourselves or other people. Like Abram, we may have those high points, those wonderful points of certainty, where we, without a doubt, trust 100%. In what the Lord has told us, when our trust is unwavering, as in today's reading, when God first promised Abraham that he would have a son, an heir, and he would become the father of nations, so many descendants, more than the stars in the sky. And then we have times in our lives when it is more difficult to trust. It can be challenging to believe that our all-powerful God is with us and for us, especially when life experiences seem to tell us otherwise. News headlines bombard us with the atrocities and the heartache of war, the reality of the effects of global warming, the highest inflation in 40 years, making it difficult for many to afford the very basic necessities of life. And then there are the experience that is that it affect us more personally, a divorce, either of our own or somebody that we love, a biopsy that comes back positive, a job that is lost and with it a dream. Circumstances like these can leave us confused and hurting and perhaps questioning God's faithfulness. Although Abraham did commit himself 100% to God in the reading from today, when God promised him that he would have descendants more than the stars, I hope that you remember that Abraham had feet of clay just like us. I hope that you remember the other places in the Bible where his story is told. Because if we consider all the information about Abraham, we remember that there were times when Abram got tired of waiting for God to work it all out. And Abram took matters into his own hands. There was a time that Abram listened to Sarah instead of to God and took Sarah's maid Hagar, and when Sarah failed to conceive. And then just a few years later, when Abram was 99 years old, God spoke to him again, renewing the promise that Sarah would indeed give birth to Abram's son and Abram would be the father of nations. And do you remember what the Bible tells us there? He said that Abram fell down laughing on his face. He fell down on the ground. And he said, "Can a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? Can Sarah, who is 99 years old, bear a child?" We know the rest of Abram's story and Sarah's story, how God worked wonderfully in their lives in God's time, bringing forth a son, Isaac. Although Abram never saw it in his lifetime, his descendants now do outnumber the stars in heaven. The most important thing to remember about Abram or Abraham is not that he was the paradigm of faith throughout his life and trust. The most important thing to remember about Abraham is that God established the covenant with him, and in Jesus Christ, we are heirs of that covenant. God's covenant is unconditional. In other words, as many times as Abraham, as Sarah, as those some Jewish religious authorities in Jesus' time and the Herods in the world and us, as many times as we fail to trust in God's goodness, grace, mercy, and peace, our Lord is always faithful to us. God's mercies are new every morning. What does it mean to be heirs or children of the covenant? Old Testament scholar Walter Brueggemann explains God's promise using these words. Brueggemann writes, "Nothing and nobody can separate us. Nothing can come between God and the people of the covenant. This is not because we have a religious bias in our life or that we merit anything, but because of God. God wills covenant. God is with us because it is God's purpose to be, and God will not be thwarted. God is with us because it is God's purpose to be, and God will not be thwarted. And we rely on that, on this faithful intention to be with us in order to be for us. Because God is with us and for us, there is always more going on in any given situation than we can ever see." Episcopalian priest John Claypole told a story from ancient China that makes exactly this point. He said that there once was a farmer, and the farmer was very poor. He owned only one horse, and he counted on that horse and depended on that horse for everything. He used the horse to plow his field. He used the horse to pull his wagon. He rode the horse instead of walking. It was his one horse. And then one day, the horse was stung by a bee, and it ran away into the mountains. Well, the man searched and searched for his horse, but it was no use. He couldn't find him. And so the people of his village heard about it. News traveled fast. It was a small village. And when they saw him, they said, "We are really sad about the bad luck of losing your horse." And he said to them, "Good luck, bad luck, who's to say?" Well, not too long later, about a week, the horse returned, and it was accompanied by 12 wild horses. The farmer successfully corralled them all. News spread through the village, and once again, his neighbors came and said, "Congratulations on this unexpected stroke of good fortune." He looked at him and he said, "Good luck or bad luck, who's to say?" The farmer's only son decided what he would do is he would make most of this good fortune, and he started to break the wild horses so that they could be sold. But as he attempted to do this, one of them threw him, and he fell onto the ground and broke his leg in 3 different places. The neighbors heard about it again and said, "We are so very sorry for the bad fortune of your son," to which the farmer replied, "Good luck, bad luck, who's to say?" 2 weeks later, war broke out among the provinces of China. The army came through conscripting every male who was under the age of 50, and because the son was injured, he didn't have to go. As it turned out, that broken leg saved his life. You see, everyone that was drafted from the village ended up dying in battle. As children of the promise, we know that God is with us and for us, working for good in our lives, despite all circumstances that seem to tell us otherwise. And for the times we get tired in waiting for God to work it out, we cling to the trust that God has our best interest at heart. Even when we reject God, God keeps loving us. God longs to nurture us and gather us like a mother hen, protecting us under wings and sheltering us from harm. God undergirds us like a safety net as we walk through the challenges of our daily lives over the tightrope of life. I invite you to pray with me. O God, before whom all hearts are open and no secrets are hid, you know the parts of our lives that we withhold from you. We give you thanks for your constant presence with us at all times, especially during this season of Lent. Help us to trust you just a little bit more each day. Lord, make us more holy, loving, patient, and faithful until you are God of all parts of our lives. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Never ever forget that you, each and every one of you, and I, and everyone here, and everyone that you see is an heir to the God's covenant of love. Nothing will ever change that. But one more thing about being part and heirs of the covenant is, please sit down if you'd like to, is that we have been blessed to be a blessing. And so remember these words as you leave after you listen to the postlude today, that Christ has no body on earth now, no hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the hands with which Christ touches the world. Yours are the eyes through which Christ looks with compassion onto the world. And yours are the feet through which Christ travels to do good. Christ has no body on earth now, no hands, no feet on earth but yours. So go after you listen to the postlude and be Christ's body. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord be kind and gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Alleluia, and all of God's people said, Amen. Amen.